Our gracious God and our Father, we look to Thee this morning, and we thank You for Sunday school. We thank You that we might come, as it were, and sit at the feet of our Lord Jesus and learn of Him. And Father, as we open the book, we ask for Your help, of our ears, of our heart, to be open to the things that You have for us here. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a meditation this morning in my heart from Luke chapter 5. The Gospel of Luke chapter 5 verses 1 through 11. And I'm going to ask James to read those verses for us this morning.
Luke chapter 5 verses 1 through 11. Now so it was, as the multitude pressed about Him to hear the word of God, that He stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them, and were washing their nets. Then He got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from land. And He sat down and taught the multitudes from the boats. Now when He had stopped speaking, He said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to Him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at Your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me. I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed Him.
As we open God's Word this morning, we find our Lord Jesus standing by Lake Gennesaret. And I wanted to begin this morning with just a little mind teaser for you. Do you know what it is that Lake Gennesaret and the Sea of Tiberias and the Sea of Galilee all have in common? Something very special. Would you know what that is? There it is. They're all the same thing. Yeah. I didn't know if you knew that or not. Very often as we read God's Word, we find this lake, and it's an inland lake that actually is in the land of Israel, but it's fully within the district of Galilee. And so as we read God's Word, very oftentimes we'll find this lake being referred to as the Sea of Galilee. However, if you happen to be from the city of Tiberias over on the west, in that region, I expect you might call it the Sea of Tiberias. And then as I understand it from my Bible dictionary, up on the northwest, there's a small little tract of land. It's only about 3 miles wide, and I don't know how long, but it's very fertile. And it's a place where the Lord Jesus did spend a great deal of time, and it's called the Plain of Gennesaret. Were you familiar with that? Well, the Plain of Gennesaret is very closely approximated to the Sea of Galilee, and so sometimes it's called Lake Gennesaret or even the Sea of Gennesaret. So I thought I'd bring that out this morning. The Sea of Galilee actually, as I understand it, is a lake with the Jordan River coming into the north end of it and exiting out of the south end of it. It's quite below sea level, about 600 feet below sea level there. And it's a lake that's about 13 miles long, and I understand about 8 miles wide, and perhaps at its deepest point, maybe about 160 feet deep. And I bring this up because the Lord Jesus spent a great deal of time in this vicinity. In fact, if you were to go back and look in Luke chapter 4, you'd find out that He started His public ministry there in the city of Nazareth, but He was not received well. And He moved on from that point down to the city of Capernaum, which sits on the northwest of the Sea of Galilee, or Lake Gennesaret. And there is where the Lord Jesus spent a great deal of His time. Many of His mighty works were done in the city of Capernaum and in that vicinity. We know from chapter 4 that also, people around the vicinity of Capernaum heard our Lord Jesus' wonderful words, and they all gathered around when they wanted to hear Him. These were words that were different, I think, than what you would hear from the religious leaders, the elders of that day. Those people taught God's word based on what they had studied. They didn't teach with a lot of conviction. They certainly didn't teach with any power at all. The Lord Jesus, when he spoke with power. He spoke with authority. Our Lord Jesus actually did some of those works that were foretold of old that would be associated with the Messiah. He gave words that gave comfort to the poor. He spoke about the things that he knew about. Not the things that he had studied, but he knew about these things. These were his things, because indeed he came from heaven. Our Lord Jesus was ever with the Father, true God and true man. And he spoke of the things that he knew. And he spoke with authority. And the people loved to hear his words. And he did those mighty works of power. He healed the sick. He cast out demons. And so it seems that every place that the Lord Jesus went, people would gather around him. They wanted to hear his marvelous words. They wanted to hear those words of life and those words of comfort, those words of grace and truth. And my dear friends, even on this day, as I think about this, I think about all the people that we have in this sin-sick world all around us, outside of these doors, maybe even a few within the doors here. Outside there, in other countries and other lands, all across this world, there are people whose hearts are weary, and they're yearning for truth, and they're yearning for words of grace and truth, peace. And those are the words that the Lord Jesus gives. And my dear friends, if we are faithful to the word of the Lord and ready to heed his calling, we might be privileged too to help bring some of these words to those people whose hearts are longing to hear words. Words like our Lord Jesus spoke in Matthew 11:28, when he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Rest, doesn't that sound good? Those are beautiful words. Those are beautiful words. And if you're with us this morning, if you're with us this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, if you're with us this morning and perhaps you're very young and you just don't understand what it's all about, or if you're with us this morning and maybe you're older and you've heard the gospel many times, I want to suggest to you again, heed the words of the book this morning as we read God's word. You'll see a mighty work. You'll see works that are associated with the Christ. You'll find out that Jesus is indeed the Christ, the Son of God, and he came here to do us good. And those lovely words of Jesus, those words that touch the hearts of the crowds, he says to you this morning too, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Perhaps you're laboring this morning with the burden of sin. Maybe you don't even know that's what it is, and you're trying so hard to get right with God, and you don't know how to do that. Or maybe you just don't know what it's all about, and maybe you're not even sure that there is God. Oh, there is, and God's Word speaks about the things and the ways that we know. God will give assurance of that to you. And our Lord Jesus came calling all men to himself. He said, "Come unto me." He did not say, "Come to the Trout Brook Assembly." He did not say, "Come to the Charles City Assembly," or to Steve Faulkner, or to Wayne Davis, or Tom Wright, or Charles. He didn't say that. He draws all men to himself. He said, "Come unto me." The Lord Jesus is the only one that can do anything about that burden of sin, and he can take it away forever. Oh, that burden can go rolling away. And if your heart is longing for those words of comfort and peace, our Lord Jesus gives them to you today. If you come to Jesus. And what does it mean to come to Jesus? Well, it means to believe on him. We heard that at the Iowa conference this year several times in our gospel meetings. It means to believe on him. We read in John chapter 1 and in verse 12, "And as many as received him," that is the Lord Jesus, "to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that," what? "Believe on his name." Well, if you come to the Lord Jesus by believing on him, you will have rest. And that rest that he's speaking of is the rest of salvation. Peace and rest, that's what he gives to you who will believe. So this morning I would just pray that you come to the Lord if you have not believed on him yet this morning. Well, as we take up with our portion again, we find our Lord Jesus standing at the coast of the Sea of Galilee or Lake Gennesaret. And he's standing there and he's preaching to the people, for they have all gathered around him. And you know, his fame had spread throughout all Galilee. After he had come to Capernaum, his fame had spread throughout all Galilee, and people wanted to be around him. They wanted to hear him. They wanted to touch him. And they thronged about the Lord Jesus on this day. They just gathered around him and pressed him from all sides. And they don't think he was able to really speak to them that way. Indeed, he probably was in danger of being shoved right into the lake. And so what he needed to do was to get a little bit of space between himself and these people so that he could minister to them. And as he looked over his shoulder, he saw standing by him a couple of fishing boats there at the coast. And these fishing boats were belonged to the fishermen, but they were not in the fishing boats. They were outside. They were tending the work that they had to do. And those of you who own businesses know how much work a business is. And Peter and James and John and Andrew and all of these were fishermen. And their work was just never ending. They had a lot of work to do. They had been out all night. On the Sea of Galilee, you have to fish by night. You have to fish when the sun is down or in the wee hours of morning in that time before the sun comes up, that lovely time of the day. But that's when the fish were up feeding. That's when people on the Sea of Galilee went fishing. And then in the mornings, if they had caught anything, they would bring them in and you have to prepare the fish for sale. But you also had other work to do. You had to clean up your equipment. You had to take the nets and pull the seaweed and the stones and the sticks and whatever else might be in there and things that were dead. And that had to come out. And if there were tears in the nets, those had to be mended. There was a lot of work to do before these guys could settle in for their day, whatever other activities they might have. And so they were busy, and they were outside of the boats, and they were tending their nets, and yet the Lord Jesus needed that boat. And he turned to the one that Peter had, and he stepped into the boat, and he prevailed on Peter, shove out from the land just a little bit. We read here that Peter did the very thing the Lord said. He did it immediately. And the boat was pushed out with the Lord Jesus and Peter, and perhaps he had a few of his boat crew with him, I don't know. And they pushed out just a little bit from the land. And then the Lord Jesus sat down in the boat and he began to teach the people. And as he spoke to the people, I expect there was a hush that came over the crowd so that they might hear him. And he spoke those wonderful words of life, those words of peace and truth. And in the background, I expect that the waves were rolling up onto the beach and you could probably hear the seagulls calling. And I imagine it was a nice day. If it was stormy, it would have been harder to do this. But the Lord Jesus preached out of that boat, and it occurs to me as we think about that this morning, what a blessing that was for the people that the Lord Jesus could speak to them that day and minister to their souls and feed them from the Word of God. But what a blessing, too, for Peter, don't you think? What a blessing for Peter that he was willing to stop what he was doing because he had a busy morning. Now, we don't read here that Peter looked up and said, Lord, it is inconvenient just now. I don't think that I want to. That boat was purchased for fishing, and I have to get it ready for the next time. No, we don't hear that from Peter. Or, Lord, I really have this stuff. I've got to get this done, or I'm not going to get out fishing again tonight. There won't be any time to sleep. No, Peter was ready. He dropped what he was doing. He gave his time, and he gave his entire worldly possessions at that time to the use of the Lord for his purposes. That really speaks to me this morning. I hope it speaks to you, too. Peter gave his boat. Lord didn't ask him for a lot, did he? He did not ask Peter to get up there and preach. He did not ask Peter to go out and do some great journey or to do some great thing that he was not prepared to do. All he did was ask Peter for his time and his boat. And maybe for the space of 30 minutes or an hour, they sat and preached. And what a blessing there was to the crowd, and what a blessing for Peter, because in doing that, in giving what he had for the Lord's use, he got to be a part of the ministry of the Lord. And I can't think of anything more blessed for the child of God who wants to serve the Lord than to be ready and willing to do what the Lord wants him to do when he wants it done so that we might be part. You know, we might have a small part. We might have a big part. It's whatever the Lord decides. But it's important. And it was important that day. Well, as the Lord Jesus finished his message to the people, I expect they began to break up and kind of move away. But the Lord wasn't nearly done yet. He had another lesson. In fact, on this day, the carpenter was going to teach a fisherman about fishing, wasn't he? And our Lord Jesus turned to Peter in the boat. And in verse 4, we read that he said, now, launch out into the deep and cast your net, drop your net for a catch. Or for a draft in King James. Well, you know, Peter, he wasn't an educated man. He had not sat at the feet of Gamaliel the way that Saul of Tarsus had done. He did not go to the University of Minnesota or Iowa or any of those. but he did know fishing. I expect this man had been fishing ever since he was a boy, and he knew how to fish on the Sea of Galilee. And what I think he did know was that this was not the time of day. I'm assuming this is mid-morning or maybe even later. This was not the time of day to go fishing on the Sea of Galilee. With the sun raised up high and it was hot, and the sun is very direct there in the Middle East, and the fish would have gone deep. And in that lake, they could go very deep. This was not the time to go fishing. And Peter knew that. And yet at the word of the Lord, we don't hear too much of a protest. Now, he did point out to the Lord in verse 5, "Oh, we've been laboring all night to catch. We haven't caught a thing. But at your bidding, we will let down the nets." You see, Peter had a heart that was willing to respond to the word of the Lord. Obedience, yes. And he was teachable, too. He might have just said, "I know about fishing. This is a waste of time. We're not going to do this." Can you only imagine, dear friends, as we think about this morning, can you only imagine the calamity for Peter had he done that? And he said, "Nope, I got to get back to what I was doing. We're not going to go out there. It's a waste of time. I'm going to finish cleaning up my nets now." Well, he would have still been a fisherman. He might have still come to know the Lord at some point. He would have missed out on everything. He would have missed out on the ministry that was going to be given to him, that calling that the Lord Jesus was going to... He would not have seen that mighty work, and he would not have gotten a real picture of who the Lord Jesus was. Oh, I'm just... Praise the Lord that Peter was teachable and that Peter had a willing heart to listen to the Lord, even when he didn't think he could see any way that was going to work. Does that speak to us this morning? When the Lord calls to us and he says, "Go someplace, do a certain thing," and we just can't see any way how that's going to work. We just can't see any way how that's going to do it. We're dealing with the Lord. The Lord knows where the fish are, doesn't he? The Lord knows how to draw men to himself. The Lord knows the ministry. And he's the one who gives the orders. Oh, if we just listen to him, if we're willing to follow him and be obedient to him, what blessing there is for us and for all to be a part of God's work. So we read then in verse 6 that Peter did what he was told to do. And he took the boat out. I don't know how far they went out. But at the bidding of the Lord Jesus, he let down the nets. And a very, very strange thing happened there. You might not think it's so strange. I don't know if you know much about commercial fishing. You folks from Minnesota up here have 10,000 lakes, and you know a lot more about fishing than I do. But Peter knew that at this time of the day, he was not going to catch anything. And so I think it was a surprise to him as he let those nets down, and they began to fill with fish almost immediately. This would not have happened unless he would have agreed to what the Lord said. It would not have happened unless he let them nets down, but he did. And when he did, it began to happen. And it wasn't just a fish or two or a few. Did you ever notice how God, when he sets something like this up, makes it so that there's no doubt whatever? This is the hand of God. Did you ever notice that? Well, you might say, and I just hate it when people look at the mighty works of God and they try to find a rational explanation. Well, the moon was in the right place. Or there was this school of fish that just came by. No, this could not happen. This what happened here today was a miracle. And would you know what it is? What is a miracle? Well, that is something that only God can do. That is something that only God can do. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He does those things no one else can do. And this was a miracle. Those nets began to fill. And they filled for a while, and they filled more. And they were filling at an incredible rate. And pretty soon, there was more fish in those nets than those nets could really hold. And they actually began to tear. And they become unmanageable for the boat crew that was out there. They were not able to manage this. And these were experienced fishermen. I don't think they had ever seen anything like this in all their years of fishing. They had never seen anything like this. I bet even in the middle of the morning hours before the sun was up, I bet they had never had a catch like this one. And it was filling the boat. It was filling as they tried to bring those in. But it was almost swamping the boat. And so they had to gesture to those who were on the shore to come. And another boat crew launched and came out to assist. And there were two boat crews out there trying to manage this net, and they couldn't manage it. And as they tried to bring the fishes into the boats were nearly swamped. And the miracle was not lost on these fishermen. It may be lost on people today who read the Word of God, but they maybe don't have faith. Maybe they hear about this and they don't have faith. Or maybe the miracle is lost on us sometimes who look at it and we don't think about it very much. I like to think about these things. That miracle was, it was big. It was not lost on Peter. And the reason that I know that is verse 8. Because in verse 8 we find Peter, and he was uneducated, but he knew better than to worship a man. And what we have here is Peter falling down on his knees before Jesus. Falling down on his knees, and he was suddenly aware of his own unworthiness. What is it that makes a man aware of his own unworthiness? Well, it is the presence of God, isn't it? I don't know if Peter could have put a name on it that way, if he could have pointed to Jesus and said, yep, you're the Christ, the Messiah. At that point, I don't know. But somehow, Peter realized in this miracle, and Peter realized in the person of this man who was in the boat with him, the presence of God. And the power and the glory of God, and it was there. I don't know if he could explain it quite, but he realized the presence of God. And suddenly he was aware of his own unworthiness. Depart from me, he said. For I am a sinful man, O Lord. And he was on his knees. You know, a very similar thing happened to the prophet Isaiah, didn't it? Back in Isaiah chapter 6, a very similar thing. And Isaiah was a man of God, wasn't he? A prophet. And he gave the word of God faithfully. And he had this vision, though, in chapter 6 of Isaiah. And he had this vision of the great king upon his throne in the heaven. And he was ushered into the presence of that vision, and he saw the great king, and that train of the king filled the whole place, and there was glory everywhere. And Isaiah the prophet was taken back, and he cried out in verse 5, in the very same kind of spirit, woe unto me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. His own unworthiness, his own sinfulness came forth. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. For I have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. When we're in the presence of God, we become very, very conscious of our own unworthiness. And Peter realized that God had reached out at this moment and touched him. And he realized that this was a miracle, and no doubt about it. And what's more, in the next verse, I think we read that the rest of the crew, too, they were catching on to this as well. They were all astonished at the catch. Nothing like this had ever been seen on the Sea of Galilee before. And it was the Lord. It was the Lord. And all of a sudden, this thing was not about fishing anymore, was it? I mean, what a problem to have if you're a fisherman. You have so many fish in a net, you can't even keep them all, and it's almost sinking your boats. I could imagine if you're a fisherman, you're just praising the Lord for your great catch. But they lost sight of that all of a sudden because they were in the presence of God and His power. And they were learning something about this Lord Jesus. Do you know who He is, the Lord Jesus, this morning? He is Emmanuel. Emmanuel is a word from the Old Testament in Isaiah. And it's a word that means God with us. He is the Son of God, the Christ, the Messiah, and He was there. And all of a sudden, it was all about Him. It was all about Him. My dear friends, the Lord Jesus was about to call these men from the occupation that He had given them to do, and it was a good, honest occupation. They were doing what they ought to be doing, fishing. But when the time was right, and because their hearts were teachable, and because their hearts were ready and willing to give all they had to the Lord called them to service. And my dear friends, today, if you're a believer and you're with us, do you want to serve the Lord? Oh, there's something here that I think we learn. If you want to serve the Lord, service begins at the feet of Jesus, doesn't it? Service begins in following Him. The calling that He gives is from Him. It's not from us. Peter did not go up to the Lord Jesus and say, I'd like you to preach to these people today and you can use my boat. No. Service comes from the Lord. He's the one who does the calling. He's the one who knows how to draw men to Himself. He's the one who knows where the fish are. He's the one who knows how to catch them. By the way, that word catch, I don't know what it is in the Greek, but it means take alive. Peter was going to take men alive. Andrew, James, and John, and all of those who would forsake all and follow Jesus and be willing to follow His lead. Because the Lord Jesus is the one who calls. And the Lord Jesus is the one who sets the agenda, who decides what the service is going to be. Is it going to be small? Is it going to be great? Am I just going to borrow your boat? Will you let me have your boat? Or like that little boy who was at the feeding of the 5,000, who had two fish and five barley loaves, and he had this in a basket. And what did he have to do? He gave it all to Jesus. That wasn't enough to feed all those people, but the Master taught them how to multiply on that day, didn't he? What that little boy had to do was turn his basket upside down and give it all to Jesus. And that's exactly what the boat crews did on this day. We read in verse 11 that they beached their boats, they took them in, and they forsook all and followed Jesus. My dear friends, I don't know when the Lord Jesus calls us for service or what that looks like, because for each one of us it's going to be individual. But the real question is, are we willing to follow Him? Are we willing to do what He tells us to do, even though we can't see how that's going to work? Now, maybe we look at ourselves and we think, I can't speak, I can't preach, I don't know what to do. But it isn't always preaching. Sometimes it's giving your house, and sometimes it's giving your car, and sometimes it's just doing that thing that needs to be done at that minute. And the Lord calls, and it maybe doesn't take very long to do, but the Lord calls. Are we willing to give it to Him, our time? We talked about this in some of our discussions the other day about humility. Are we willing to not have our agenda rule, but let the Lord rule our agenda? Oh, when it's time to serve Him, are we willing to give it all, turn that basket upside down and go with Him? But as to whether or not we're prepared for the ministry, the Lord does all that's needed for that. He supplies what's needed. He supplies enough word to go around. He supplies, you know, maybe we don't have a lot of money. Well, He figures that out. Maybe we don't have the ability to speak. Well, He figures that out. I think that Peter was not like Apollos. He was not able to stand up and preach great sermons. He was not like Saul of Tarsus. He was not well studied in the Word. But I do recollect that in chapter 2 of the book of Acts, Peter gave a wonderful gospel message there on the day of Pentecost. And how many thousand were saved? 3,000. And I do recall that in Acts chapter 4, Peter gave a wonderful message. He taught the Sanhedrin on that day, didn't he? And they didn't believe a word he said. But you know what? They did realize that he was an uneducated man, and he had quite a grip on the word, and he could speak. And they took note of him in verse 13 that he had been with Jesus. What about us? Will they take note of us that we have been with Jesus? And in chapter 10, in the house of Cornelius, and a whole house full of people and a centurion to boot, and Peter gave a gospel message. He opened his mouth and what? God filled his mouth, and everybody in the house was saved. Oh, my dear friends, if we're willing to follow Jesus, He supplies what's needed. He supplies the agenda, where we're going to go, what we're going to do. But we can't say, no, that's not going to work. Because it's His power, and it's His glory, and it's His leading. My dear friends, I hope this is a blessing for you. It's touched my heart too. May the Lord bless His word to your hearts this morning. We pray. Our gracious God and our Father, we look to Thee this morning. Lord, all You ask from us is a willing heart. All You ask from us is that we be teachable and that we be willing to do the work that You've set before us to do. Not worry about the how. Not worry about even, the amount. Or whether or not we'd get a lot of credit or whether we get no credit. Whether we'd be in the forefront or whether we'd not be in the forefront. It's Your work. And Father, we just thank You that You include us in that, and that through obedience that we're privileged to be a part of Your plan unfolding in this world. And Father, we just recognize that there are hearts all over this world that need the gospel message. Lord, I pray that whether they be here and Ramsey and Anoka and in the surrounding area, or whether they be in Mason City or Charles City, and whether those hearts be in Afghanistan or China or wherever they may be, Father, I just pray that the labors will be many, the word will go forth, and that You will be glorified. So we look to Thee. Bless these dear people here today. We thank You for them. In Jesus' name, amen.